In mortality, we are subject to the laws of man and the laws of God. I've had the unusual experience of judging serious misbehavior under both of these laws. Earlier, as a justice of the Utah Supreme Court, and now as a member of the First Presidency. The contrast I've experienced between the laws of man and the laws of God has increased my appreciation for the reality and power of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Under the laws of man, a person guilty of the most serious crimes can be sentenced to life in prison without possibility of parole. But it is different under the merciful plan of a loving Heavenly Father. I have witnessed that these same serious sins can be forgiven in mortality because of our Savior's atoning sacrifice for the sins of all those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Christ redeems, and His atonement is real. The loving compassion of our Savior is expressed in the great hymn just performed by the choir. Come unto Jesus, He'll ever heed you. Though in the darkness you've gone astray, His love will find you and gently lead you from darkest night into day. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ opens the door for all men to repent and come unto Him. The Book of Alma reports repentance and forgiveness, even of those who had been a wicked and a bloodthirsty people. My message today is one of hope for all of us, including those who have lost their membership in the church by excommunication or name removal. We are all sinners who can be cleansed by repentance. To repent from sin is not easy, Elder Russell M. Nelson taught in a prior general conference, but the prize is worth the price. Repentance begins with our Savior, and it is a joy, not a burden. In last December's Christmas devotional, President Nelson taught, "True repentance is not an event, it is a never-ending privilege. It is fundamental to progression and having peace of mind, comfort, and joy." End of quote. Some of the greatest teachings on repentance are in Alma's Book of Mormon sermon to members of the church, whom he later described as having been in a state of much unbelief, lifted up in pride, and with hearts set upon riches and the vain things of the world. Each member of this restored church has much to learn from Alma's inspired teachings. We begin with faith in Jesus Christ, because it is He that cometh to take away the sins of the world. We must repent, because as Alma taught, "Except ye repent, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven." Repentance is an essential part of God's plan, because all would sin in our mortal experience and be cut off from God's presence. Man could not be saved without repentance. This has been taught from the beginning. The Lord commanded Adam, "Teach it unto your children that all men everywhere must repent, or they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. For no unclean thing can dwell there or dwell in His presence." We must repent of all our sins, all of our actions or inactions contrary to the commandments of God. No one is exempt. Just last evening, President Nelson challenged us, "Brethren, we all need to repent." To be cleansed by repentance, we must forsake our sins and confess them to the Lord and to His mortal judge where required. Alma taught that we must also bring forth works of righteousness. All of this is part of the frequent scriptural invitation to come unto Christ. We need to partake of the sacrament each Sabbath day. In that ordinance, we make covenants and receive blessings that help us overcome all acts and desires that block us from the perfection our Savior invites us to achieve. As we deny ourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all our might, mind, and strength, then we may be perfect in Christ and be sanctified through the shedding of His blood to become holy without spot. What a promise! What a miracle! What a blessing! One purpose of God's plan for this mortal experience is to prove us to see if we will do all things whatsoever the Lord our God shall command us. As part of this plan, we are accountable to God and to His chosen servants, and that accountability involves both mortal and divine judgments. In the Lord's church, mortal judgments for members or prospective members are administered by leaders who seek divine direction. It is their responsibility to judge persons who are seeking to come unto Christ to receive the power of His atonement on the covenant path to eternal life. Mortal judgments determine whether a person is ready for baptism. Is a person worthy of a recommend to attend the temple? Has a person whose name was removed from the records of the church repented sufficiently through the atonement of Jesus Christ to be readmitted by baptism? When a mortal judge called of God approves a person for further progress, such as temple privileges, he is not signifying that person as perfect. And he is not forgiving any sins. Elder Spencer W. Kimball taught that after what he called the mortal waiving of penalties, a person, quote, must also seek and secure from the God of heaven a final repentance, and only He can absolve, end of quote. And if sinful acts and desires remain unrepented until the final judgment, an unrepentant person will remain unclean. The ultimate accountability, including the final cleansing effect of repentance, is between each of us and God. The judgment most commonly described in the Scriptures is the final judgment that follows the resurrection. Many Scriptures state that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged according to the deeds that have been done in the mortal body. All will be judged according to their works and according to the desires of their hearts. The purpose of this final judgment is to determine whether we have achieved what Alma described as a mighty change of heart, where we have become new creatures with no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. The judge of this is our Savior, Jesus Christ. After His judgment, we will all confess that His judgments are just, because His omniscience has given Him a perfect knowledge of all of our acts and desires, both those righteous or repented, and those unrepented or unchanged. The Scriptures describe the process of this final judgment. Alma teaches that the justice of our God requires that in the resurrection all things should be restored to their proper order. This means that, quote, if their works were good in this life and the desires of their hearts were good, at the last day they will be restored unto that which is good. Similarly, continuing the quote, If their works or their desires are evil, they shall be restored to them for evil. Similarly, the prophet Jacob taught that in the final judgment, they who are righteous shall be righteous still, and they who are filthy shall be filthy still. That is the process preceding our standing before what Moroni calls the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both quick and dead. To assure that we will be clean before God, we must repent before the final judgment. As Alma told his sinful son, we cannot hide our sins before God, and except ye repent, they will stand as a testimony against you at the last day. The atonement of Jesus Christ gives us the only way to achieve the needed cleansing through repentance, and this mortal life is the time to do it. Although we're taught that some repentance can occur in the spirit world, that is not as certain. Elder Melvin J. Ballard taught, quote, "It is much easier to overcome and serve the Lord when both flesh and spirit are combined as one. This is the time when men are more pliable and susceptible. This life is the time to repent," end of quote. When we repent, we have the Lord's assurance that our sins, including our acts and desires, will be cleansed, and our merciful final judge will remember them no more. Cleansed by repentance, we can qualify for eternal life, which King Benjamin described as dwelling with God in a state of never-ending happiness. As another part of God's plan of restoration, the resurrection will restore all things to their proper and perfect frame. This includes the perfection of all of our physical deformities and deficiencies acquired in mortality, including at birth or by trauma or disease. Does this restoration perfect us all our unholy or unconquered desires or addictions? That cannot be. We know from modern revelation that we will be judged for our desires as well as our actions, and that even our thoughts will condemn us. We must not procrastinate the day of our repentance until death, Amulek taught, because the same spirit that has possessed our body in this life, whether the Lord's or the devil's, will have power to possess our body in that eternal world. Our Savior has the power and stands ready to cleanse us from evil. Now is the time to seek His help, to repent of our wicked or unseemly desires and thoughts, to be clean and prepared to stand before God at the final judgment. Overarching God's plan and all of His commandments is His love for each of us, which is most desirable above all things and the most joyous to the soul. The prophet Isaiah assured even the wicked that when they return unto the Lord, He will have mercy and abundantly pardon. Alma taught, "Behold, He sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them." The risen Lord told the Nephites, "Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive." From these and many other scriptural teachings, we know that our loving Savior opens His arms to receive all men and women on the loving conditions He has prescribed to enjoy the greatest blessings God has for His children. Because of God's plan and the atonement of Jesus Christ, I testify with a perfect brightness of hope that God loves us and we can be cleansed by the process of repentance. We are promised that if we press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. May we all do so, I plead and pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.